You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
You know, in the lead up to Leaders Advance, it's really important that we get our soul and our spirit strong. You know, even if you're not going to Leaders Advance, you're still going to be impacted on the Sunday after, because there's going to be an atmosphere in here that will just be electric. And we don't want to come to Leaders Advance tired, empty, desperate, crawling in, going, oh God, I just feel nothing, do something. No, we want to go in strong. We want to go in ready. We want to go in with our spirit and our soul ready to receive, so God can just breathe. He can just breathe on us and take us to the next level. So I want to talk about Psalm 1 as we get our souls ready. Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Amen. Not so the wicked. They are just like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the first psalm in the book of Psalms, and it really is a roadmap, or like ways in helping us learn, or helping us on our journey to a blessed life. How many here are blessed for Waze, Google Maps? Remember the days when we didn't have it? I remember when I first moved to Malaysia 16 years ago, we did not have Waze. We did not have Google Maps. My ways was Jai Isaacs and Jason Joseph. I would call them when I was lost, and they would say to me, what billboard are you looking at? I'd say, the woman with the dove. Yeah, and she's got like cream on her face. And they would go, okay, turn left. And then I would know to turn left. They would give me directions based on where I told them I was at. Now, I can just punch it into my phone, and I can just follow the voice in my car, and gets me to my destination. This psalm is like the ways to a blessed life. So the psalm starts with, blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. The Hebrew word that is used for blessed in this psalm is called Esher, which means happiness and contentment. So this psalm is teaching us how to be happy and to live a life that is full of content. Esher is also plural. So it also means it multiplies your miracles, or multiplies your blessings. It's not just for one blessing, but a lifetime of blessings. It's like forever having blessings come your way. It also is open to all. Anybody can join this journey. I love Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite all-time preachers. He says, it is not blessed to the king, blessed is the scholar, blessed is the rich, but blessed is the man. This blessedness is as attainable by the poor, the forgotten, and the obscure, as by those whose name figure in history and are trumpeted by fame. This is for everyone. No matter what direction you are heading in life, today you can get on the journey, on the ways of a blessed life. So let's look at this psalm to see the direction of where we are going. First off, it says to avoid walking in step with the wicked. Avoid walking. Walking is movement. When you're moving towards something, you are walking. Where are you walking? What direction are you going in life? When you walk towards in step with the wicked. The New King James Version talks about it being not, the blessed man doesn't walk in ungodly counsel. You know, we are bombarded with ungodly counsel in the media, Google, AI, family, workplaces, you know, our peers, our bosses. So many people are talking to us. You know, they give us their opinions. They give us their advice. You know, my advice is, they start with, you know, and then they tell you advice about your marriage, maybe. They tell you advice about your parenting, about your work, about your ministry, about your resources, giving you all advice. And it's important that you make sure that the advice they give you, the counsel they give you, lines up with the Word of God. People even give you advice or counsel about how much time you serve in the church, your ministry, your involvement in Connects or in Kingdom City. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Psalm 119:24 says, "Your commands are my counsels." My counselors, your word is my light and delight. Light and delight, your word. It's so important that this is our counselor. We can get information and different people saying things to us, but does it line up with this? It needs to line up and make sure that we are facing the right direction. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Wisdom opens your heart to receive wise counsel." Wow, wisdom. This book is full of wisdom. But pride closes your ears to advice and gives birth only to quarrels and strife. You want a life of quarrels and strife? All the married people said, no way. This helps you with your marriage. Helps you with your children. Helps you with your walk, with things that you are struggling with. You can get set free by reading the Word of God. So it's so important we have discernment, that the counsel coming in gets measured up by the Word of God. What have you agreed with? You know, your counsel can also be your thoughts. The enemy can put thoughts in your mind and make it sound like you, so you think you're thinking it. And it's so important that every thought that comes in, how does it measure up? How does it measure up to the Word of God when you think those thoughts? Well, what does God say about those thoughts? Do you agree with them or do you dismiss them? When you agree with them, then you open yourself up for the demonic, and then you open yourself up for struggles. It's so important. Every thought that's coming in comes obedience to Christ, that is measured up by the Word of God. You know, last year we were talking about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. And I challenged people to start praying Ephesians 6 over their life. Ephesians 6:10, putting on the full armor of God. That is putting on the Word of God every day. I actually do it every day myself. Every day I dress as I dress. I'm putting on the armor of God. We had this girl who started doing it. After 2 weeks of doing it every day, She just suddenly noticed that the thoughts that used to bombard her about her weight, about being fat, about an eating disorder, urges to vomit, all left, all went quiet, because she was meditating on the Word of God, putting on the full armor of God. She doesn't struggle with that issue anymore. What are you struggling with? What issue is always coming at you? You got to meditate on the Word of God. You got to put it on. Number two, we got to avoid standing in the way that sinners take. Standing is not moving. I'm not moving when I stand. If I stood on this road, in the middle of the road, and didn't move, I would get run over probably by a truck if it was coming my way. My life would end up in destruction. We've got to be careful where we are standing, where we stay. Where are we staying? Where are we staying in WhatsApp chats? Okay, so, you know, the conversation in the chat, you know, sometimes they send dirty jokes, or sometimes they gossip about, you know, the Connect leader, or, you know, our pastor, Pastor Paul, you know, they say a few comments, but I'm not saying anything. You know, I'm just staying in the chat. You know, you stay in the work chat where it's not really work, but it's, you know, things that probably aren't what you would want Jesus to hear. You're staying in the chat. How about staying at the parties? Staying a little longer at the parties when you know you should go. Staying around in that environment. Staying in those conversations, those divisive conversations, conversations that are against people or the house of God or your spouse. You're just staying in those conversations. You're not walking away. How about staying in the movies? when maybe sometimes we should walk out. There's a joke about me in movies. I waste your money if you take me to the movies because I probably will walk out. Staying in unhealthy relationships. Maybe dating someone that's unhealthy for us, that doesn't know the Lord, or even is not on fire for God, or staying in unhealthy soul ties, you know, with people that we're not dating them, but they're friends, but it's like an unhealthy soul tie. We're staying, and we know we should break it, but we just staying there, or staying on those playlists on Spotify and iTunes. Hey, I'm not singing the words. I just like the music. But just staying there and it's filling the atmosphere in our car or in our house, or maybe staying online past 10 o'clock. I always find they come in after 10. It's like the demon's like, okay, we're on roster, everybody. 10 o'clock, let's go, you know? And they come out after 10 and you know, put that computer away, that phone away, go charge it in the other room. Like, don't put yourself under unnecessary temptation, you know? Be out in the light when you're on your computer, out in public, so that you're not staying in the wrong place. Proverbs 3:6 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. This is acknowledging him, and he shall direct your paths. When you acknowledge him, when you read the word, you need to know the truth. You need to know the truth so you can bind it around your neck. You need to know it. Problem is, a lot of us don't know the truth. We just have this vague, you know, idea of what the truth is. But when you read this, you get to really know the truth. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you hide the word, his word in your heart, it's harder to sin. That verse comes back to you before you're about to open your mouth or you're about to go somewhere. That verse comes back. The Holy Spirit's voice comes back. It's harder to sin when you have his word hidden in your heart. Number three is avoid sitting in the company of mockers. Once we've walked in, we've stayed. Now we're engaging and partnering with things that are harder to break. You know, it's really hard to get up once you sit down, right? Ugh. Like, I could sit here for hours and preach to you. But if I'm standing, it'll only be short because of the heels I wear. But sitting, so relaxing, huh? Just so nice. You can just sit there. You're comfortable. You know, we can just sit and just, what? I have to get up? Nah, I'd just rather sit, you know? Imagine if we made you stand all through the message. Some of you would leave. But sitting, you can sit for a long time. And once you sit with the mockers, oh, you can be there for a long, long time. And then when you come to church and you're told, hey, you know, praise the Lord, can't be bothered, I'm sitting. Raise your hand in worship, can't be bothered. I'm just so comfortable like this. And we get comfortable in sin. And when we get comfortable in sin, then we open the door to addictions, and then we can't break things. Then we're looking at things we know we shouldn't look at, but we can't do anything about it. Then we're listening to things we shouldn't listen to, but we can't do anything about it. We become powerless when we get to that point where we're sitting in the company of mockers. We open ourselves up to the demonic to affect our soul and our mind. It's we can't even tell the difference between gossiping and sin and lying. We don't even know we're lying because we're sitting in it. We cannot be sitting. To get out of that, you got to put your hand up and let Jesus come and pull you out, because you're already there. It's already too late for your willpower to get you out. I love in the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife that Joseph didn't sit. He didn't stand and he didn't stay. He ran. He ran out of there. And I'm sure she was very good looking. I'm sure she was a great temptation. I'm sure she went to him every day. I don't think it was just a one-off thing. She would be like, hello, Joseph. Hello, Joseph. Like everywhere he looked, she'd be like, hello, you know. So she's in his face. And in that moment of temptation, he had the word written, and he knew what was right and wrong. He just left his jacket. Even when she tried to restrain him, he didn't care. He left everything behind, and he ran out. We got to run out of sin. Psalm 119:29. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. We got to, God, teach me. When I read this, Holy Spirit, teach me. Teach me when I read this. It's not just a book with words, but it's words that can go in. But Holy Spirit, you need to breathe and teach me. Then we got to delight ourselves in the word. You know, when people delight themselves in something, you don't have to force them to do it. My sons delight themselves in chocolate. I don't have to say to them, sons, you have to eat your chocolate. I don't have to do that. I don't even have to tell them there's chocolate. Oh, they find it. And they definitely delight themselves in it. And they love it. Their eyes light up. They get so excited. Chocolate, ice cream, donuts, all that sort of thing. They delight themselves in it. That's what we got to be about the word. We need to delight ourselves in it. Famous commentator says you can measure your delight for the word of God by how much you hunger for it. How much do you hunger for the word of God? If you have a lack of hunger, what are you feeding yourself on that's making you feel full? That you have no desire to read the word. Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste his word. Delight in his word. Don't use it as a religious duty task. I read my Bible. Tick. No. Delight in it. Sit in his presence. Psalm 25:14 says, there's a private place reserved for the devoted lovers of Yahweh, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Oh, to have God sit next to you and share the revelation secrets of his promises. You know, the Bible is in layers. You read it over and over, and you can get something different every time. Then it says not only delight in it, but meditate on the word day and night. Meditation doesn't mean empty your mind, like some religions tell you to empty your mind. No, don't empty your mind. Fill your mind with the word of God. Think about it. Ponder on it. Pray it back to the Lord. Don't just read and go, okay, done. And it's like you've read something and you can't even remember what you've read. James 1:22 says, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. Wow. So you can listen to the word and still have deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. When you read this day and night, before you start the day, at the end of the day, when you read this and you ponder it and you pray, oh, changes happen in your life. The Message version says, chew on scripture day and night. Chew on it. You know, you just read it and then you're just thinking about it and you're thinking about it. And then before you go to bed at night, just pray it through. Whatever it was that jumped out at you that the Holy Spirit highlighted to you. My husband, he doesn't even get out of bed until he does his scripture typer. Scripture typer is an app, highly recommend it, where it helps you memorize scripture, memorize the word of God. And I remember once he was sitting there on his phone and I thought, oh, he's on Instagram. And then I looked over and I was like, oh no, he's on his word of God. And he just made it a habit in his life where he can rattle off scriptures, chapters. He's unbelievable with knowing the word of God. And then he memorizes it, then it's in him. And then he's meditating on day and night. That's why he's a brilliant preacher, because he's meditating on the word of God. It's going into him. He's thinking about it, pondering about it. And he starts his day like that. You know, meditation prevents pride. Sometimes we can become like the Pharisees. I read my Bible 1 hour a day. Yes, I am amazing. God, I am so incredible because I know your law. I can memorize it and say it out to you, da 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 da. But meditation means reading it, memorizing it, and then thinking about it. How is that applied to my life? Not my spouse's life. or my neighbor's life, or my boss's life. My life. Read it for your life, not anybody else. How, God, can I change by reading this today? And then if you do all this, you are blessed. Be blessed. The psalm describes being blessed like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, a tree by the river has a continual source of water. That's why it's always green. You get all you need when you are by the water. Everything you need to know in life while you're by the water. If you are constantly needy, it may be worth checking if you're planted by the water. If you haven't been next to, maybe you're constantly needing, constantly unhappy, constantly, are you by the water? Is it giving you? Not only that, a tree is strong and stable, and it sinks down. It has deep, deep roots. So the storm comes, it doesn't fall over because it's deeply rooted in the soil. So the life of a blessed man is marked by strength and stability. You want to be stable in your life? Get the word of God into you. When you're stable, it opens the door for blessing. Psalm 112 talks about a man who is stable and steadfast. He has an open door to blessing. Isaiah 26:7 says, the path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. So your path is smooth. It's a level. When you have got the word of God and you are following the Lord, you are following him, it's level. There's not big mountains and things you got to climb. He makes it smooth for you in your workplace, smooth for you in your marriage, smooth for you in your parenting, smooth for you with your boss. He makes it smooth. And verse 6 says in Psalms 1, he watches you. He watches you. The Lord watches over you. He's watching everything about you. He's watching you and he's making sure, don't make that decision. Don't get into that partnership. You know, do this, go here, go there. He's like leading and directing you. So this is the roadmap. It starts like this. Morning word plus meditation plus night prayer equals blessed. So just try it. Morning word plus meditate, and then you pray about it at night. You are blessed. Or walk to sin, stand around in sin, sit in sin, and have a destructive life. Where in your life are things destructive that you feel destruction is around you? Why don't you start the day with a morning word and meditate on it and pray about it at night? I want to challenge you, if you're not reading your Bible at all, why don't you just try 1 month? 1 month of one verse. Just try one verse. Don't try the whole book. Don't try one Bible in 1 year. Like, just start with small pieces, you know? Just try one verse and read that verse and then meditate on that and then pray it at night. Just one. If you're reading one verse, maybe do a paragraph, you know? Or if a paragraph, maybe do a chapter. Like, whatever you're doing or not doing, just go just that small step towards the right direction. You know, read and listen to it. You know, we are blessed in today's world with the Bible app on our phone. You know, they have YouTube channels of people that read the Word of God to you, like 24/7. It's unbelievable. Some of them are live streaming. You get on and you can see how many people are on. They do it in New King James. They do it in the Passion Version. They do it in the NIV, whatever version you want. You can put the YouTube on and you can do it. On Spotify, you can get the Bible. I love to listen in the morning to the Passion Version on Spotify. I just have it on. I'm listening to it. I'm listening and hearing the things that's going into me. You just have it on. If you have trouble sleeping at night, it's good to sometimes sleep with it in when you go to bed. When I'm on airplanes and I have to sleep, I always put the Passion Version on. You know, I wake up in the middle of Revelation. It's quite interesting. But it's just good because it's just going in. It's going in. And then meditate about it. Think about it. And then pray about it. Do it as a family if you want. You know, read one verse as a family and then meditate on it. Sometimes we try when we can to do family devotions. And Pastor Mark will sit us all down and he will read a scripture to us. And he really massages it into us. Like, he really unfolds the truth in it to us. He lays it down so that we can meditate on it. And then we talk about it over the next few days. Just do this for 1 month and see if your circumstances change. You know, I shared this with our teenagers about a year and a half ago, and this girl came up to me and told me this testimony about what happened to her. She started doing that. We called it the Blessed Challenge. And I challenged them to read one chapter of Acts a day for 28 days, and she started doing it. And she wasn't doing very well in school. And I had told the teenagers, you start meditating on the Word of God. I said, you're going to do better at school. You watch. You'll be able to retain information better. You'll be able to study better. So anyway, she took this challenge very seriously. She started to meditate and read, you know, every day. Well, she had this exam to do after a few weeks, and she did the exam, and she's an average student. But when her results came through, she topped the class in the exam. The teacher is so shocked, calls her in for a private meeting with the principal, and they say to her, did you cheat? They actually asked her if she cheated, and she said, what? And they go, because your results have so drastically changed, and the way you did the exam shows us you really understand what's going on. We need to know, did you cheat? She's like, I didn't cheat. Well, what did you do? Extra tuition? Like, how did you get so good? She goes, I've been meditating on the Word of God. They said, what? She goes, oh yeah, at my church, they did this challenge. They said, if we meditate on the Word of God, we'll get better and everything. So I've just been meditating. I read my Bible in the day, I meditate it, and I just am understanding things quicker and better. See, that's what happens. The Word of God is true. When you meditate on His Word day and night, you will prosper. Prosper in your education, prosper in your marriage, prosper in your resources, prosper with your parenting, prosper in the marketplace. You will prosper when you delight in His Word and meditate on it day and night. Why don't we stand in this place? Psalm 115:14 says, may the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We want to be a people that live a blessed life. It doesn't mean that there won't be tragedy, hurts, chaos that tries to come our way and affect us, but we in ourselves will have peace. When all the world is in turmoil, we will carry peace. Our joy will stay. Sometimes we exchange our joy too fast, you know, and because we don't have that stability in us. But by delighting in His Word and meditating on it and praying it through in our life, we are on a journey of living a blessed life. And what a testimony to our unsaved family, our unsaved friends, our unsaved work colleagues that see that there's something different in us, that just favor goes with you everywhere you go and you just seem so blessed. Why are you so blessed? Oh, because I follow the ways of the law of the Lord. I meditate on His Word. Every advice that comes to me, I measure it up with this. You know, every counsel that comes to me, I commit my big business deals. I commit it to the Lord. I commit my exams that I'm going to do to the Lord. I read the Word. I meditate. I pray. And I get into His presence. By doing that daily, some of the issues that you're struggling with, the attacks that you have, they will just fall away. Just like that lady who had that disorder with the food, and it just fell away, and she just realized suddenly, oh, I don't struggle with that anymore. You'll just realize those things that you used to struggle with, you won't struggle with anymore. But maybe you're in this place and you were like, you know what, I have walked with sinners, I've stood in their path, and I feel like I'm in a place where I'm sitting, and I don't know how to get up. And while you've been talking to me, I thought, oh my goodness, I can't read. I feel so bad. Maybe you feel condemned and too guilty to read the Word of God. Maybe you believe the lie that God doesn't speak to you through the Word. That is a lie from the devil to stop you from getting into the Word. Maybe there's been a blockage and maybe you once were very diligent, but now you're like, I just can't get into the Word. I can't pray. I just feel like there's a lid over me. It's just like this block. We want to pray that lid breaks off in Jesus' name. That religious spirit just goes in Jesus' name. Or maybe some of you are very diligent at reading your Word every day, but it's like you read it and then you forget. And you go on in your day and you haven't seen changes in your life. You're like, well, I read the Word. I don't know what's wrong. I pray and I don't know what's wrong. Maybe you need to start meditating and just meditate on that and apply that to your life and not see it as some duty that's pleasing God. Reading the Word is not to just say, okay, God, I did this. I hope you're happy. No, no, no. Reading the word is for you. It's like breathes into your soul and into your spirit, and those wrong mindsets and those wrong lies and those wrong things, they get corrected, they get realigned. Hope comes in, direction comes in. When you feel afraid and you read, "Do not fear, for I am with you," it's like that fear just has to leave because you've read power in those words and it's come into you, and fear has to leave. When you feel lonely, it says, "You're not alone. I'm always with you." Those words come into you and loneliness has to go. You know, "I'm close to the brokenhearted." Those of you grieving and feeling hurt and sad, you feel his love. When you read those words, it comes into you. It's not to just go check Jesus, read your word, now let me into heaven. No, it's not that at all. It's for you. It's the benefit of you to live a blessed life. A life of victory, a stable life. So we don't swing from this to that, to this to that. But we live with stable, with a steadfastness in us. Why don't we close our eyes in this place? Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us if there's any wrong mindsets or lies or any blockages, anything that is hindering or stopping us from delighting in your word and taking the time to meditate in your word. I just come against the lie of those that have believed they're not good enough to read the word. I break that lie in Jesus' name. For those that feel guilty and condemned, I command that to leave them now in Jesus' name. For those that think, "Well, God just doesn't speak to me in the word. I just don't get anything." We rip the veil off your eyes, that blindness. We command it to leave now in Jesus' name. I declare that when you read the word, there'll be like a light that comes from the Bible up and it will just hit you, and you'll begin to read and you'll begin to understand. You'll begin to have clarity as you acknowledge him. As you acknowledge him every day. God, I pray for those that are in storms right now and feel like they're being pulled from left to right. I pray you will give them words, revelations in your word, God, that will help them in whatever they're going through right now. Holy Spirit, show us right now. Right now. Put a light on our soul right now. You know, if you're in this place and you're like, "You know what, I do struggle. I struggle to read my Bible and pray, and I'm so ashamed. I'm a Christian, I'm so ashamed. And I don't know what to do about it." Why don't you raise your hand right now? If you're online, you just raise your hand to the Lord right now so he can see it. Just raise your hand right now. You go, "I struggle. I start and then I stop." And then just raise your hand. Yeah, people's hands are going up. Yep, just raise it. It's okay. It's all right. I prayed with a pastor last week who confessed to me they couldn't read their Bible and pray for a while, and we had to break that lid over them and let it leave them. Sometimes we accidentally agree with things that enable a demonic cloud above us, that just the direct access is just hard. So you just raise your hand. We're going to lift that cloud now in Jesus' name, that dullness cloud, I like to call it, dullness cloud right now. Yeah, there's hands going up everywhere. Everywhere. Father God, you see every hand raised right now in Jesus' name. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus. We command that cloud to go now in Jesus' name right now. Every lie to fall to the ground now in the name of Jesus right now.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that he loves you very much. So much that he died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.